Welcome back to America Weekend with me, Valerie Smaldone, and Leslie Gold. I am sure you know the wildly successful television shows Two and a Half Men and Mike and Molly. Very funny, very popular. Well, Mark Roberts is not only the producer of those shows, but a writer, a stand-up comedian, and a playwright, with a new play opening in New York in just a little while called New Country. Now, before this career started, Mark was a successful stand-up comedian in Chicago and was spotted by a casting director, and the rest followed. Mark, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure speaking with you, and I do love to go back to the early days before Hollywood, before television. Take me back to the early Mark Roberts days. What were you hoping to happen when you were doing stand-up?
Well, I was hoping not to have to get a real job. You know, that was, from about the age of 10 on, I knew I wanted to work in the entertainment industry. And so stand-up was actually a way of getting stage time and, making a living. At the time, it was the early 80s when the stand-up comedy boom was really in full flourish. So I was able to make a living and get a lot of stage time, and then it led to film and television and commercial work. And so it was a very good step up for me, that world.
And you come from Chicago, so it's a great breeding ground of improvisational theater and comedy and playwriting, and it's a wonderful space to be. You met Chuck Lorre, who really was influential in getting you to the next step.
I had written and was starring in this play in Los Angeles called Couples Counseling Killed Katie, and he saw the play and I asked me if I wanted to write for television, and that was when I made the deal with the devil.
But you really love theater, Mark, and you've been involved in, as you mentioned, many plays and many playwriting, and you have a new play that will be in New York called New Country. Tell me about what happens. I know there's a country music star about to get married, and then all hell breaks loose.
Well, the play, I mean, the simplistic storyline is it's the night before this huge country western star is getting married, and it's the bachelor party. And a lot of, past, present, and future comes home to visit this young man while he's in this hotel. So, it's a comedy first and foremost, but I think it makes, it makes some larger points about the business dealings in our country and the way the world is run.
And you have a role in it as well.
I do. I usually don't. I am not that much into acting anymore, but it was kind of a cost-effective way to use me. I was the best we could get at the price we had available.
That's an artistic decision and a business decision at the same time.
Yeah, that's life, I guess.
That's great. So is this a world premiere of this play?
Yes, opening night at the Cherry Room in New York will be the world premiere of this play. It was written about, I finished writing it about 6 months ago, and then had done a couple of readings in New York, and then did a little bit of adjustment work on the text based on that. So yes, this will be the first time this play has been out in the world.
So let's understand something here. You have had tremendous success, as you said, making a deal with the devil and being in television world and Hollywood, and it's very high profile and very star driven. And now coming back to your roots, theater, off-Broadway, what is life like for you when it's sort of a dichotomy going from that world into a very different type of performing arts? Tell me about your experience with the both of them.
Well, I mean, I've always approached my work at every single level. I've always been very work-driven, and it's always about the work itself, whether I'm in the high-stakes, expensive world of television or in a 99-seat theater off-Broadway. I approach it all the same, and as a human being, I also have always lived a very simplistic life. I never really got into I didn't become the big car, LA producer. culture guy. I've always been, my Midwestern roots have sort of kept me humble. So, when Mike and Molly went into syndication and I had done 3 years on it and all of my ownership points were in place at that point, so it gave me an opportunity for the first time in my life to really do what I wanted to do creatively and not be driven by financial demands or financial needs. And so the theater has always been my first love, and I'm sure will always be that way for me, because as a young person, it was really it sort of rescued me from that scary place when you're young and you don't know what it is you want to do, and then all of a sudden something presents itself. So theater has always been that for me, and so it always feels like a much more comfortable arena to me. I enjoy television, and I'm still working in it. I'm still developing and approaching doing different projects, but it will probably always be on a much smaller scale. I don't know that mainstream popular network television is something I'll ever really want to get back into.
Well, you have opportunities now. We all have opportunities now that we didn't have before due to technology, and the opportunity to have a new playing field in terms of digital content.
Yeah, it's a much more interesting it's a much more interesting world, and the type of things that I really respond to are not really the mainstream television sitcom type stuff. I tend to find my content on smaller cable outlets, but it is an exciting time, and I think it's even going to get more interesting. And I'm working with a couple of people that I've known for years and years on developing some things for television, and we're thinking of how to approach this in a way where you can actually sort of rise above the millions of voices that are out there right now, especially in television. I mean, there is a ton of content, and the only downside to that is you really, to make your presence known and to find an audience, you really have to figure out a method of storytelling, or at least an interesting topic that will grab people's attention. But I've always tried to just approach my work as I want to write things that I'd want to watch, and that seems to be the easiest way to go about it.
You take your own temperature at that point.
Well, I hung out with so many comedians, who were always, they would always complain about there's nothing good on, there's no, this and this, and I always just felt, instead of complaining about it, just write the plays that you want to watch, write the TV shows that you want to watch, and, it's very easy to sit around and say there's nothing good on, or you could try to create something good. And so that's how I've always tried to approach my career.
I'm speaking with Mark Roberts, who is a producer, a playwright, screenwriter, and has a new world premiere play coming to New York at the gorgeous Cherry Lane Theater. If you've never been to New York and you're not familiar with this theater, you must check it out. It's on a beautiful little street in Greenwich Village in New York City, and just a lovely space. So Mark has chosen a wonderful theater and area to be involved with. Mark, you do have the stand-up comedy background. I believe you were on The Tonight Show, right? You really performed quite a bit in the early days.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to get to open for Jay Leno at a club in Hermosa Beach, California. And this was right before he was getting ready to take over The Tonight Show. Johnny was wrapping up, I think he was in like the last year, so I opened for Jay at this club, and he, was very kind and very complimentary, and said, as soon as I take over, I'll get you on the show. And I ended up doing it, I think, like 8 times in about a 3-year span, and it was very instrumental and very helpful in getting me into like the Montreal Comedy Festival, the Aspen Comedy Festival, and it was really cool to be able to be on that show. It was kind of a childhood dream come true.
I should say so. It's pretty fabulous. And in the remaining moments we have, Mark, what can we look forward to after New Country? What are your next projects?
There's a television show that a friend of mine from Chicago and I wrote a pilot a year ago that is getting a little interest right now. So we're hoping that's going out to networks very, very soon, and we're hoping that goes somewhere. It's a dark little comedy. And then I start working on another theater piece for next season that really excited about. I'm working with a musician. It's going to be the first tour that I've ever written that has a strong musical element. It's not a musical per se, but it has a strong musical element. So those are the two major things. And I'm scribbling away on a book about life in Hollywood, too.
That I'd love to read. Looking forward to that. Mark Roberts, great pleasure, and break legs for New Country, which opens May 16th in New York City, the world premiere. Thank you so much, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thank you for talking to me. I really it was nice talking to you.
It's Valerie Smaldone and Leslie Gold on America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So how many mistakes have you made today? Probably at least three. Here's the social science of it.
One, two, five. Three.
Researchers have identified at least three types of common mistakes. The first, the assumption type. You leave out a critical piece of information and assume you did it right. Next, a selection mistake, where you switch things accidentally. And the final mistake, a capture mistake. You start one thing, something captures your attention, and you forget to do the first.
Spectacular mistake.
What's the cheap psychological trick? Routine is not your friend. Check your work, check your friend's work, and then get them to recheck your work. Create a checklist of what to do correctly and mark it off each and every time. That will reduce mistakes and keep you out of costly lawsuits. Got a question? You can contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Think Green. Harrison with you. New issues with an old poison. From 1961 to 1971, the military sprayed Vietnam with Agent Orange to defoliate trees for military objectives. Agent Orange contained huge quantities of dioxin, one of the most dangerous and cancer-causing chemicals known to man. Truthout's Marjorie Cohn reports that between 2.5 and 4.8 million people were exposed to Agent Orange, and the spraying covered 1.4 billion hectares of land and forest. Chemical analyses now show the U.S. soldiers exposed to Agent Orange suffer rampant cancers and liver damage and heart disease, birth defects, skin and nervous disorders. Agent Orange's creator, Monsanto, who also created NutraSweet, has been quietly paying out $1.52 billion to American soldiers as a settlement. From the Greeniverse,
Think Green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.